Good morning and welcome on Friday, the 13th of December, to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Learn more at their website, ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller have the news today, including a preview of the new Purdue Crop Chat podcast focusing on nitrogen and finding new overseas markets for Indiana poultry. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is forecasting a mix of conditions in the coming days, including precipitation that changes over to rain. And the markets yesterday, mostly lower throughout the session. We have market analysis and the settlements. Carl Setzer joins us with his insights on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Well, we've survived another year, another growing season, another election cycle, and plenty of market volatility. All of us at Hoosier Ag Today are proud that we've been able to keep you informed of the latest farm news, markets, and weather developments in 2024, and honored that once again you have made us the most listened to farm network in the state, on air and online. And ready for 2025, we are Hoosier Ag Today.
The trouble with finding the right nitrogen rates in corn, finding new markets for Indiana poultry. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. If you've ever tuned in to one of our Purdue Crop Chat podcasts, you know we like to give each other a bit of a hard time. I'm joined by Purdue Extension corn specialist Dan Quinn and soybean specialist Sean Castile to discuss agronomy topics important to you, but we have some fun along the way. One of the running jokes is that Castile gives Quinn a hard time that they still haven't figured out nitrogen rates in corn for about 40 years. On the latest episode, available now in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, Quinn explains that in his research this year, he did trials around the state with zero N that might explain why it's so tough to figure out, beginning with the research farm in West Lafayette.
Yields can range from 100 to 200 bushel with no nitrogen. And then you go over to Davis, right, in the Pomo Blounts, yeah, and it's 20 to 40 bushel. Mm-hmm. And then it, Southeast Indiana is maybe in between that, 100 sure. to 120 bushel. And then Northeast Indiana is over here. The overall range in yields at zero N at these locations was from 20 bushel to 210 bushel.
So Quinn says it makes it difficult to answer the question he often gets from farmers.
Do we need one pound of N, yeah, or 1.2? Is it 0.8? And you look at the state and you go, wow, good luck figuring that out, right?
So yeah, I'll get you close.
Yeah. So I just think about, it's so environmentally driven, and do we have a good handle on even predicting the weather 3 days out? You know, no. So I think that's what makes it really challenging to try and pinpoint where some things work or not, or where some of the rates need to be or not, year in and year out.
For great agronomic insight and a few laughs along the way, find the Purdue Crop Chat now wherever you listen to podcasts. When it comes to poultry, Indiana is among the top producers in the nation. C.J. Miller reports now how Indiana's ag leaders are working to find new markets for poultry around the world to raise its value back here at home.
Well, Eric, Indiana is the number one producer of duck in the U.S., number three for egg production, and number four for turkey production. In fact, the state's two main duck producers, Maple Leaf Farms and Culver Duck, have seen a great deal of success because of the demand for duck in Asia, Canada, and Mexico. Becky Yonascon, president of the Indiana State Poultry Association, says the worldwide demand for Indiana poultry products are growing because more people around the world have the money to spend.
As the middle class continues to really grow in Asia, in the Middle East,
in even in the Africas. It's one of the first areas they look where they might spend that extra couple dollars is on protein. And poultry and eggs are very flexible, culturally adaptive sources of protein.
She says another area for export growth is the purchase of Indiana poultry by hotels and restaurants around the world.
They are a very significant market, obviously, you know, larger in bulk and easier to sell to and move more product that way. But it's a fantastic way to introduce new products into a country.
Jonas Gahn was recently in Washington, D.C. for the winter meeting for the USA Poultry and Egg Export Council, or USAPEEC for short, as they discussed how trade policies could impact the poultry and egg industries in 2025 and beyond.
We have lots of great support in the National Turkey Federation, United Egg Producers, National Chicken Council, and other agricultural organizations that are out there making sure people are aware how policies affect folks on the ground in Indiana producing food for the nation.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here across the Hoosier State, I don't have anything too earth-shattering to work through, but we are going to be seeing some up and downs here over the course of the next few days. It's still cold today. Now, the coldest day out of this entire pattern was yesterday, easily, and we're coming off of those at temperatures just a little bit, but by no means are we warm here for your Friday. I do think that we get slightly on the backside of high pressure late this afternoon into this evening, and that should allow for some south flow to develop for Saturday. High pressure shifts far enough off to the east that we see that south flow warm us through Saturday midday and afternoon. I think we turn out partly to mostly sunny for a good deal of Saturday. Clouds increasing late Saturday afternoon and evening. That's ahead of our next weather system coming in, bringing rain for, well, let's just say Saturday evening through a Sunday mid to early afternoon. We're looking at anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State. We follow that up with lots of clouds then to finish a Sunday, maybe a break or two here or there. But Monday, we are mild and still seeing a secondary round of moisture trying to slide through the state, mostly centering on central and southern Indiana, but could see another tenth to half an inch there before cold front finally moves through. Our cold air arrives for Tuesday. Next Tuesday, the 17th, we're back into the deep freeze. All right, that's probably a little bit of an overstatement, but we're cooling off quickly. And then we stay chilly through the rest of the week, but not a lot of moisture. Maybe some clouds around Wednesday night into early Thursday that can trigger a few flurries, but most of the weather systems next week, or the remainder of next week, stay south. Texas, Arkansas, into the Tennessee Valley, not taking much aim at us here. We also see some clipper systems moving by to the north, but once again, not a lot that moves through Indiana or the I states in general. We stay chilly right on through next weekend with Canadian high pressure here for the 21st and 22nd. Then we get into the week of Christmas. We're chilly for Monday and Tuesday, maybe seeing temperatures moderate a little bit for Christmas Day, but I don't think it's going to be a super mild Christmas here. You don't have to go too far to the west to get into that mild territory, though. Strong upper-level ridge is building over the nation's midsection and the western United States. They should be quite warm for Christmas Day and the day after out in the Great Plains and the western United States. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mostly lower during the session with a late turnaround in beans. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We begin with market analysis. For that, late in the session, I turn to Carl Setzer of Consus Ag Consulting. Carl, we had a mostly lower Thursday. Export sales out first thing really didn't help. Below expectations in corn and beans. And the South American crop situation is looking better. That was another headwind for the markets.
Yeah, we started getting hit today. We started out with CONAB this morning coming out and projecting what we thought might have been a little bit positive start to the session. CONAB coming out with a 166.2 million metric ton soybean crop, 119.6 million metric ton corn crop for Brazil this year. Both numbers below what the USDA projected just back here on Tuesday. USDA looking at 169 million metric tons on soybeans, 127 million metric tons on corn. Shortly after that, the Aviav Crushing Group came out and projected the soybean crop closer to the USDA, 168.7 million metric tons. The real question, what we might see for exports, CONAB put it out 104 million metric tons. Aviav a little stronger at 104.4 million metric tons. That gave us a little bit of support. And then, like you said, Andy, we started seeing the export numbers. And there's definitely two ways to look at it. Number one, we can say that corn sales were just under a million metric tons for the week. But the negative side, they were down 45% from the prior week. Same on soybeans. Any other week, if we had 1.17 million metric tons in sales, trade would have been excited, but that was half of what we had the week before. Our demand has slowed, and we knew it would slow. It's starting to run a little bit more routine now, and I think we will see our numbers adjusted, but bottom line is our demand is still good. And yes, the weather, not a lot of support coming from South America at this time. However, we are starting to see a little bit drier forecast for Argentina in the long term. That gave us a little bit of support today, as did the ongoing heavy rains in Brazil causing flooding issues in their soybeans.
There was support earlier in the week, of course, from the USDA WASD update. Are we past that boost now?
I think we're past it, especially on the corn side with the 200 million bushel less carryout than trade was expecting. We're still seeing some back and forth fighting in that soy complex, though. Trade really not showing much faith in that soy oil number that the USDA put out, where they cut our soy demand by 200 million pounds this year. Trade really saying that's a head scratcher, especially with the demand build we've seen.
So where do we go from here as far as what might impact markets? What will the trade be keenly looking at?
Next week will be our last full week of trade for the calendar year. So we're going to see a little bit more positioning next week. And of course, then we have the week of Christmas, followed by the week of New Year's, with those holidays falling right in the middle of the week. Expect very thin volume over those two weeks. Higher volatility, though, with those lower trader numbers. I expect to see a lot more positioning to finish out the month ahead of year end.
Carl Setzer at Consus Ag Consulting. His number is 989-506-1587. Now the Thursday settlements, March corn 443.5. It ends the day down 4.75. May down 4.5 cents, 451. July 3.25 lower at 455. January beans turned around as the dollar index fell from its highs, up 0.25 cent at the end on the Jan contract, 9.95¾. March 10.03¼, up 0.5 cent, and May up 0.5 cent, 10.13¼. March wheat 4¾ down, 5.58¼. May contract 4.5 lower, 5.68¼. Meats mixed near steady. February live cattle 190.85, down 52 cents. February lean hogs 84.47, up a dime. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.